and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm ready to talk about No Surrender.
No Sereffin Render.
Sereffin?
Sereffin Render.
Really? No Sereffin Render.
Yes.
Yeah, but in order to talk about it, we probably need some recap because I can't remember shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the books.
Yeah?
What, yeah.
Shit?
I think so. There's No Surrender pay-per-view. So, yeah. So anyway, what do we want to, should we just start from the beginning, I guess. Video package, Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe opened up the show.
Yeah, that was the first match. Decent match, nice finish. Basically, Samoa Joe has been nursing an injury. He suffered on the hands of Magnus. So you can look forward to them facing each other, possibly at Bound for Glory, in a titanic matchup.
Yeah.
And he was suffering, but he still managed to carry most of the offense on Hardy, but Hardy beats him with a roll-up.
Yeah.
After he couldn't get him to submit this time with the same move that Hardy submitted with him on Thursday. So, yeah, Hardy wins. Decent match.
Yeah, not as good as their impact match with Dot, but decent.
Decent, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Hardy wins that match.
Yay. James Storm cut a promo just before their match talking about how he picked Bully Ray because it was Bully Ray that beat James Storm last year to knock him out of the Bound for Glory tournament, so he wanted to get his revenge.
Yes.
And then they had their match, and of course that didn't happen, as the returning Bobby Roode.
Well, the story for me of this match was how great Bully Ray is.
Mm.
Yes. Bully Ray, at the beginning of the match, he basically, he's walking around the ringside, he grabs a fan from the fan.
Right.
He tries to rip it, he can't rip it, he throws a hissy fit. He's yakking, he's doing all the bully, he's doing all the bully, cowardly heel mannerisms, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was just awesome, hilarious, very entertaining.
It was great, yeah. It was great.
The match itself was pretty passable. Not bad, not great, but
yeah.
Bully was very entertaining.
He was.
Yeah.
And at the end, again, Bobby Roode come back, smashed a beer bottle while the ref, a couple ref bumps in this.
Yeah.
Two refs were bumped. Then Earl got back up, and Earl was bumped again. And as James Storm was checking, Bobby Roode come in from behind, smashed a beer bottle over his head, and smiled as he went up.
And last call super kick, is that what it is? James Storm hit that on
right.
Bully Ray, and if it hadn't been for the ref bump, the story is he would have pinned him.
That's right. So. And then Robert Roode, Bobby Roode has screwed James Storm out again. And
I'm not getting a title shot. If I'm not competing for the title at Bound for Glory, neither are you. It's going to be the promo. Bobby Roode, then, who has not been around for a couple weeks, it appears not in charge of Aces and Eights.
Oh, nobody really thought he was, did they?
I don't know. I heard it from some people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never thought it.
Never made any sense to me.
No. And
kind of logical.
Since he got beat up by it and everything. But
Yeah,
anyways, Bound for Glory, what we expected, grudge match, probably some sort of gimmick match, a grudge match. Storm versus Hardy, not for the title, but still good shit.
Storm versus Roode.
Storm versus Roode, sorry.
Yeah.
Storm versus Roode, yeah.
And, yeah, so then... So that ended up that. Next we got Miss Tessmacher against Tara.
Admittedly, we fast forwarded through most of this because we were on a PVR delay.
Yeah, we were about 15 minutes behind on.
We fast forwarded most of this and most of the match between RVD and Magnus.
Yes, those two. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was the student versus teacher two as they were billing this. Could the student finally beat the teacher? And the answer is yes.
Yeah. The teacher, Tara, basically takes almost all the offense, cannot put away the fighting babyface champion.
Right.
Who then, when rolls her up with a, what is it, a monkey, no, sunset flip, that's what it's called.
Right, yeah.
Sunset flip, pins Tara with a sunset flip coming off of Tara's finishing move.
Mm-hmm.
The worst the finishing widow's move ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, so whatever.
Okay.
One star.
then we come back from it to the back there where Roode is in handcuffs and Hogan's telling him he's going to jail, and then James Storm jumps him, and then they handcuff both of them, I guess.
Now, yeah, I mean, if we're going through this kind of quickly, the first match is because it was a match, and there's not much to say. The second match, there's a little more to say.
Mm-hmm.
Third match, there's not much to say. If we sound like we're not totally enthralled by this pay-per-view, we weren't. It's not that it was bad. It's that it just...
It was there.
Yeah, and that's probably coming across here, because it's there's some good stuff, and some stuff I enjoyed, but it's nothing that really will excite you. And certainly, the crowd did not seem excited either. Though we have kind of a theory on the crowd and the production, and because we're started to see it here in the backstage segment, too. We talk about all the time how pay-per-views for TNA has a different look than the regular television. How it doesn't, it's a more straightforward sports look, mainly stuff happening in the ring. Stuff that's backstage is a straight camera, usually just a promo.
Right.
And the sound quality, we always can't hear the crowd as well. And we always assume the crowd's not as hot. Now, that's part of it, I think, but I think it's not just that. You had an observation that I think makes a lot of sense.
I just wondered how much of it was Spike and having the Spike production people there, and of course this being on pay-per-view and not on Spike TV, you know, would mean that they wouldn't, the Spike people obviously wouldn't be there, or could be there, but if they were there, it would be on TNA's dime, and they're not a money making operation here at this point.
Well,
so
not on pay-per-view. Pay-per-views are losing a lot of money.
Well, I think it just in general, I don't think they're making money. I mean, they're trying to, and if they are, they're just making money.
Yeah.
And so it's, to cut the corners, to be able to, to have it as passable, I guess, right? Then I could see that.
Well, that's
so.
It. I mean, people have to keep in mind TNA, Spike TV is a great partner for TNA. Spike TV, not only do they, for my job at work, I monitor different television stations. This last Thursday, I'm monitoring Spike TV. I'm monitoring all day long. The only thing in the corner, in the bottom right-hand corner, tonight is Impact. And then it's commercials. And it's the only thing. I mean, anybody who watches Spike TV at any point in time during the day knows this program is on, guaranteed, and knows what time it starts. Guaranteed. Because they do a good job promoting it. And they're doing a pre-show type thing.
Right.
For Bound for Glory.
They're going to, basically, I don't know if it's a half hour or an hour. They're going to have a match on it. So basically it's going to be the countdown show is basically going to be kind of like the UFC prelims, essentially,
yeah.
On that we're on Spike. Now this is going to be the Bound for Glory pre-show is going to be on Spike TV on October the 14th, I guess, is the pay-per-view.
And unlike, WWE is producing their television show. They're paid by USA Network, but USA Network is not fitting any of the costs for the television show. That's WWE's
right.
show.
Yeah.
Whereas Spike TV fits the cost of a lot of what TNA does. Not only do they pay for some of their performers, like Sting, and they pay a large portion of his contract and Angle's contract
right.
and such, Hardy's another one. They also, the television production, they want a certain look. They want it to seem like a big deal. So they pay for the production, a lot of the production that TNA can't afford, which is why when they talked about TNA going on the road, Spike TV is the one like, yeah, if it's going to increase ratings, otherwise we don't want it, that's going to cost us more money
mm-hmm.
to go on the road, and since it's us largely fitting the bill. So when people keep on talking about how the crowds don't seem as good and the shows seem different, we used to think it was that they were making a different choice and maybe they're making the crowd differently, but I think your observation is right. I think it is. Spike TV's not there. The production values aren't as good because Spike TV isn't fitting that bill, and why the hell would they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, why would they? That's right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
But it does hurt the product on pay-per-view. It does make it just seem like it's not as big a deal as Impact.
That's right. No, it does. It definitely does. And the crowd was having, and we'll get into some other matches here as we go, and the crowd was into some things as the show kind of went on. They were dead silent for this... for the women's match.
Absolutely.
Just,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
I think it was the RVD Magnus match.
Also,
it's
a women's match and it's two baby faces, right?
Yeah, that's right. So.
With an awful ref. I mean, a great ref.
With an awesome ref.
Yeah.
An awesome ref.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Why fuck her?
Yes. Yes. So. But then we had Austin Aries come out to square off in a fight against the Arm Breaker.
Yeah, when he comes out, because we had said that it shouldn't end the show, because
mm-hmm.
it's not a title match, it's just a It's just an unsanctioned fight. There's no referee there.
Well, and we
figured second from the top.
Well, we figured it would be an angle, as it was.
Yeah.
You know, so it shouldn't. You don't close the show
well,
with
that's the
angle.
As soon as we saw it coming out this early, we're like, well, that's because there's going to be an angle.
Something's
happening. It's going to carry on for the rest of the show.
Well, we always knew that something. I mean, when you have this unsanctioned fight, I think we knew all along that there would be some angle, that this would be the angle portion of the show, because
yeah.
of that match. But what that was, and that it would play into later on the show, is the reason it went on this early. But it was also the reason that we didn't put it on, wouldn't have put it on last anyway.
No, exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So,
and so the Armbreaker came out
yes.
and fought Austin Aries.
The Armbreaker, apparently Mike Knox.
Okay.
Mike Knox,
Because, yeah, we could tell it wasn't Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Because Luke Gallows is the one who's talking and had a different mask. We're wondering who this was because, yeah, the two of them look physically very similar, actually. It looks like, I guess if that's the case, Knox is not quite in as good a shape as he was in WWE. But.
Well, basically what they did, they brawled and, Aries threw powder, he threw
yeah,
a roll
brought,
of coins.
A roll of dimes, was it?
A roll of pennies, I think. This is TNA, they have to cut costs.
Oh, probably true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyways, yeah, he fought him, and he was going to pull the mask off. As he starts to pull it off, Aces and Eights hits the ring, starts to beat him up. Everybody comes running down. Kurt Angle comes running down, sort of.
Well, I was going to say, everybody comes running down and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, exactly. Last guy to the ring is
Hogan.
Well, last guy to the ring is Hogan, but I mean, last guy to come to save the day. Hogan's there to cut a promo.
Right.
Last guy to come to save the day is. And by the way, the action itself was pretty average too. Just mention that it wasn't great exactly.
Between Aries and Mike Knox. Yeah, it was. Again, yeah, nothing huge there.
Nothing huge, and that means that Knox obviously doesn't have that beard anymore.
I guess not. No. Yeah, he should get it back.
I hope so. But anyways, what the hell was I saying? Oh yeah.
Well, unless he's doing a total makeover to, for this character as well. So that, I mean, because when you take away a beard, I mean, people may not even recognize him, right?
So anyways, the second to last guy to hit the ring is Jeff Hardy, who's fighting a guy outside the ring. The last guy to hit the ring, and the guy is Bully Ray, who actually, because the guy who gets the jump on Hardy, and hits Hardy with, he does, what do you call it, like the spear, into the ring post with
yeah.
the shoulder.
That was Luke Gallows.
Yeah, that was Luke Gallows who did that. And then Bully Ray chases that guy off.
Right.
Now Bully Ray is helping up the guy who's hurt and telling Hogan and the other guys, hey, Jeff is hurt because nobody had seen it because it was all this chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now it makes it seem like here's Bully Ray acting like the baby face and the good guy to Jeff Hardy, the guy he's facing the finals. And it's like, is it a swerve? Isn't it a swerve? Is he really in charge of Aces and Eights? Is the most to handle from, or to win over from this?
Right.
So that's kind of the some of the stuff that they're putting in motion here.
Exactly. I mean, and that's again, I thought in terms of the Aces and Eights for tonight on the pay per view, good showing for that. Furthered the storyline along well.
Most of the night, the storylines were generally pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling action was generally not bad. It's just that nothing felt. It's just a lack of energy.
Yeah, lack of energy. I mean, we'll get to some of the things. I mean, we go back next is Zema Ayan against Sanjay Dutt. Again, the crowd didn't have any idea this match was happening.
They haven't announced this match. I don't think they've had Zema Ayan on since the last pay-per-view.
No,
I don't think so. They did not promote this match on television. These guys haven't been on TV. I don't think Sanjay's been on in 2 months, so the storyline was that he hurt his... In the X Division match, heard as 3 months maybe, whatever. However
well,
it's
July, and
yeah, he hurt his shoulder in that X Division.
But he was
Ultimate X match,
and then he was in that thing. Remember, he was the last one eliminated by Austin Aries to
chance for the
yeah.
title. The point is, I wasn't even sure if he was with the company in Austin still. I mean, I'd heard he wasn't,
mm-hmm.
That they actually hadn't signed him. They're not promoting him. He's not on TV. The storyline though is he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, if they're not on TV. Like they had this little video package
yeah.
right before the match where it showed the injury for Sanjay Dutt
and
Zena Ion cutting a promo and being a douche, saying I'm breaking neck. These might be the most I just beat three of the most talented jackasses I've ever been in the ring with.
The jackass doesn't run with racehorses, but those are three of the most talented jackasses that I've ever beaten or something.
Yeah, exactly. But he's like, yeah, I'm breaking necks and cashing checks, blah blah blah, and they had this little video package, and it probably was 90 seconds.
Well, and
they just put this on fucking Thursday.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
90 seconds, fine time for it.
Yeah.
To promote the match and do something. I mean, Jesus.
You call me Addy. But it was a good video package, but you're right. I mean, you should have had it. Anyway, Zema Ion retains, with kind of a, like a gory bomb.
Yeah, kind of a gory bomb move. Too bad that the crowd wasn't into it, because both of them, especially Sanjay, pulled out some really innovative new moves. And
yeah.
Some really cool shit. Really, really athletic and agile, and a lot of cool stuff happening. But when the crowd's not really into the characters, it doesn't matter too much.
Well, there was Tia Pet and Get a Haircut at Ion. I mean, the crowd was making their own fun at Ion there. So
yeah, but like 5% of the crowd was chanting.
Oh, I know. But again, it was just one of those things that it was at least loud enough to hear, on the TV, right?
I guess,
so
yeah.
Then we found out after this match that also, you know, wrestling legend, TNA general manager Hulk Hogan, also in charge of the Orlando Police Department.
Yeah. This is awkward.
Yeah, like
or
that.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was just stupid. Hogan had an off night tonight.
Hogan was bad. Yes, he was tonight.
Yeah.
He was not good on the mic tonight. Was this a segment outside where he's gathering? He's doing a lockdown. He's like, nobody can get into the building. Nobody can get out. So aces and eights can't interfere. We're going to have police everywhere. We're going to have them all over the arena. If they're still inside, can't interfere. If they're outside, they can't get in.
Get me more. Are there more of you guys? Get me more of you guys.
Yeah, police officers.
Cuff them.
And I guess they did have the actual, you know, cooperation of the police force. Because those were obviously real police cars showing up. They had like three of them show up or something like that.
Well, they're like, cuff them, take them, you know, cuff them, take them down, beat him.
No, they drag him out of here. He goes, cuff them, take them down, drag them out of here. No, wait, beat him up. Beat him, and then drag him out of here.
Yeah.
That would be lawful.
Yes, exactly. It's like, beat him first, then drag him out of here. It's like, what? And the police are just staring at him. Like
you're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Just stupid.
Fuck yeah. It was just...
Was this when we got to some of the highlights between Taz and Mike tonight? What was that?
No, that was during the tag match.
Okay.
When he was humping the ropes.
Oh, that's right. But there had been other good stuff earlier. There was a lot of, and there was, right, that was before that match, and then right after that match.
Taz said, do you like my new,
He had this great suit on, it was this bright, bright blue suit, and just this, like, it was like plaid and bright blue, and something like fucking awesome. And,
yeah.
And, he's like, somebody on Twitter said, you know, it's my electric shock, blue electric shock, sir. Jacket and my blue electric shock suit. You like it, Mike? You like my blue electric shock shirt?
Nope.
And then Mike just keeps on.
And then he's like, nope, we have to go to this tank dinner, whatever he did.
Video package now. Yeah. And then, and Taz is just looking off like, well, fine then, fuck you then.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That's fucking great.
But RVD beat Magnus. As we said, we skipped through.
RVD looks awful.
We kind of skipped through.
He doesn't look in shape. He looks old. He's slow. Hell of a match, like Taz said. No, really, not really. Magnus is good. I like Magnus. Problem is, Magnus should not have lost this match, especially if he's going to be facing Samoa Joe, right?
Well, and we knew, yeah. But, I mean, we kind of said that. Like, Magnus should win this match, and then we looked at each other and said, but he's not. And, I mean, because Hogan still gets wet dreams for Rob Van Dam, right? So, I mean, that's the deal.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
But then the best thing on the show.
The best thing? Well, this was the best thing, but this led into the best match. So all of this was the highlight of the show.
Yes, all of this was,
this was fucking great.
Kazarian.
Pretty much don't leave anything out in case people missed this.
Well, it was Kazarian and Daniels interviewed by Jeremy Borash, Jeremiah B., as Kaz called him.
Yes.
Just said it was a travesty and a sham and a mockery. It was a...
Trevor Mockery, Trevor Rocker.
It was a Travisham career or something. A Travisham career or something. And Daniels goes, stop making up words. And he goes, go fa fa froof.
It was fucking hilarious. hilarious.
And then
Daniels cut a promo that might have even been better and even funnier.
Well, but he started going, he said, you know, like, he just went through the whole story, you know. They're trying to get Claire Lynch to sell our good name. You know, we're the greatest wrestlers in the company, and da 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 da.
Yes, he's the, what was it? He called Frankie the Fantastic of Fin, or the, I mean, he gave him a nickname.
Yeah, he did. He gave him a nickname, and I didn't.
Fantasy of Perfection or something like that.
Something like that.
And he was the face of
TNA Wrestling, yeah.
Yeah. But the best was Claire Lynch trying to sully our good names, or in good faith, our perfectly fine good names.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
and then someone handed him an Appletini off camera, and he's
like, because at the very beginning, he's pacing, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, where's his Appletini? I'm like, where the fuck is his Appletini? This isn't right. He's got an Appletini.
Yeah.
And like right at the last second, his hand, because he keeps on waving his hand, and it leaves the camera. The frame all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Last time it leaves the camera frame, when he comes back in, he has his Appletini.
Mm-hmm.
Looks at the camera, takes a little non-sip. It's fucking great. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah. And of course they called themselves the World Tag Team Champions of the world. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, it's fantastic.
Which I guess something that Christy Hemme screwed up one time.
Oh, really?
So that's why they kept on with it, and now it's like,
that's on purpose.
It's stuck, yeah. So
it's part of their gimmick now.
But yeah, exactly. Now it's their catchphrase kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Now then we led into the match of the night.
Something they said once. She said once.
So something she said once. Yeah.
And it stuck.
It did. Well, then we got the match of the night: Kurt Angle and AJ Styles against Kazarian and Daniels. And yeah, this. I don't know, how long was this match even?
It was about 20 minutes.
I was going to say about 20 minutes, probably.
3.25 stars, and it's the best match of the night. You know, it's not great, but not, you know. But that's it. Nothing, other than the women's match, nothing was really terrible, but nothing really popped tonight.
Yeah.
In the ring, a lot of 2.75, 2.5 star matches.
That's right. Angle's leg was taped up.
Why was this? What had happened a couple nights earlier?
He got hurt on Thursday in a match against Ken Kennedy, Mr. Kennedy and
Somebody
Mr.
Got
Anderson.
Hurt Ken Kennedy.
I know. Was involved in a match where the other guy got hurt. This is the first time for everything. I mean, so. But anyway, so then he was limping, but he looked fine, and I mean he was moving slow, but he was doing.
Well, he didn't look fine. Let's put it this way. The match went 20 minutes. He was probably in the ring for 4 minutes. But those 4 minutes, he hit all his moves. And he worked hard as hell. And he was stiff as hell. So you weren't thinking about how much he wasn't in it and how much he couldn't do. Because he would get in and the guys would bump for him. They would make movement around him. Like Daniels and Kaz would come to him and he would hit the clothesline. But he would hit it hard and then they would flop like crazy. So it looks like he's the one moving, but actually it's them moving around him.
So he looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. Yeah, same thing. Yeah. He'd do a suplex. They would get the height. It was on them, but they would get the height. They would go up for him.
Couple massive. Kazarian got a double back body drop by Angle and AJ, and it was just like he flew.
I do look, and I mentioned this, a lot of Angle's offense, like that rolling suplexes, back suplexes,
mm-hmm.
and the overhead belly-to-belly.
Yeah.
These moves have been banned by the WWE.
Yes.
Because they've caused a lot of neck fusion and neck injuries and led to people needing to be on painkillers. And I think TNA should look into banning these as well.
I do, too. I also think that TNA should look into banning the brogue kick.
Oh, fuck you, WWE. Fuck you. Oh, shit.
Oh,
but, yeah, so basically, I mean, AJ was awesome tonight, and although the other three were awesome, and Angle hit all his moves, and it was a really good match. So I liked it quite a bit. We were talking about who should replace Angle. Maybe they should just say he got hurt and he couldn't go.
Oh, I thought Aces and Eights should attack him.
Yeah, that's what you said, and that Chavo should come out. And then later on I said to you, how about if instead of replacing Kurt instead of Chavo, it had been Samoa Joe? We'd see, or Bound for Glory, we'd see Samoa Joe and AJ versus Kazarian and Daniels. I mean, that would give me a wet dream.
Well, there's a couple of things because, I mean, that to me is the match. That's exactly what I would do. And, I mean, you talk about getting a wet dream, because the reason that you put Samoa Joe in there instead of Chavo is because Chavo will be at your house.
Yes, that's right.
Blowing you.
Well, yes, of course, he's blowing me, not the other way around.
Well, no, he's Mexican.
Ah, good point. that's Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
See.
Send your hate mail to Addy, Addie,
Addie, of the world.
I'm just laughing over you going, see.
Anywho,
so how did Kazarian and Daniels, hold on to the thing?
Oh, well, that was really good. It was the, what did they do there? I mean, there was a lot of great finishing sequences. A flux capacitor off the top rope that AJ kicked out of. Pele kick, lots
awesome,
of springboard.
Awesome, we thought they had him. Kurt was outside, had a Daniels, I think, in the in the ankle lock, and AJ hits this off the top, springs off the middle of the top rope, and does a 450 splash that was just fucking awesome.
Yeah,
just amazing.
But then, as the ref is distracted because Angle gets clotheslined over the top and hurt his leg or whatever, and aggravated the injury to his leg, so to speak, or in the story.
In the story or not, I don't know. The way he went over and he landed, you just went, oh, fuck Angle. Because it's like, why are you doing this? You're like, why are you even risking it? And he might have hurt himself further. The way he was holding it, it wasn't holding his leg. He was holding his groin, like it ripped his groin.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He did land awkward. There's no question. He's already hurt on that. Why would you?
I know. I was just like, that's stupid. But there's other ways to do it, but that's what they did. And anyway, and then with the referee outside checking on Angle, it was Kazarian and... was it Daniels grabbed the Appletini and threw it in AJ's face that allowed Kazarian to get the pin on AJ.
Like Tajiri or something.
Different version of Green Mist.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the Appletini Mist.
Yeah, you do want to keep that out of your eye. I know your mother always complains to me when I spray the mist in her eyes.
Yes, and it's green, too.
Yeah, well.
It's weird.
Lucky Charms.
Yes. Yes, need to ban your brogue kick.
Magically delicious.
Yes.
Anyways.
Has to do with your purple horseshoes. But Bully Ray does an interview after the match now because it's getting ready to be time for the main event. And he says, you know what? He doesn't wish that it had gone down a different way.
Angle should be still at Bound for Glory.
Yes.
There should be a multi-man match of Team TNA versus Aces and Eights.
I would assume,
and he should be on the Team TNA. That way he could still wrestle but be hidden for his injury in that match.
Well, if we want to get him...
They can hide him. Do even like they did tonight, but he could do even less stuff and just put a couple heavy moves.
I'll get into this right now. Or maybe we'll save that. We'll just talk because, I mean, the way that I do it, yeah, we're talking about multiple team. You know, we said maybe a 5-on-5 or something where we've got Kurt Angle and we've got
and you
got to
pay
Sting.
Something off for the Aces and Eight Angle finally at Bound for Glory.
So we got Kurt Angle, we got Sting right in there. I don't know who else you would put in there necessarily, but one of the people that I put in is Bully Ray, and if Bully Ray is going to be the leader, that's where he fucks them and joins up with the Aces and Eights then, right? So that leads us to the main event. Bully Ray cut a babyface promo.
Yes, he did.
Saying you have to respect. He even said...
This was just the start of his babyface behavior here.
Yeah. He even said, what was his exact words, is you have to respect how I've been able to repackage myself.
Reinvent myself.
And my career, and you have to respect me. And then he got some polite applause, basically, from people about it. And he come out for his...
Well, it's like you mentioned, I didn't see the pre-show, but you mentioned that he did an interview there where he said, yeah, I expected to be in the Final Four. I expected to be in the Final Two. I was in the Final Two last year.
Right.
And that's where Bobby Roode beat me. And we were like, really? Like, we had fucking forgotten.
Oh, Yeah.
And they hadn't brought it up once, but he was the guy who we kept on going, oh, he'll never make the Final Four. But he made it last year, made it right to the finals, so it wouldn't have seemed like such a stretch then. But
yeah, well, I mean, I could see him
wanted that. I don't
being
know.
In the Final Four, because when he got to that point, we thought, okay, well, RVD is the odd man out, so we get him in the Final Four. But there's no way. I thought, oh, well, he'll just lose.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
to James Storm, and then... and go from there. But, I mean, I could see why they did what they did with the beer bottle and Robert Roode in that match, of course, now in hindsight as well, given the fact that this Jeff Hardy angle with aces and eights, you know, you're not going to throw too much in your main event. Like, Russo's
no.
not there anymore.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But basically what they did is they played Bully Ray come out, then they played Jeff Hardy's music.
Twice.
And second time Hogan come out.
Yeah.
And then... basically, Hogan was saying, you know, I don't know where he is, brother.
You can see he's not here. If you're, you know, this is your legacy. This is your, this is, you can now go down as either a good man or a bad man. What are you going to do? How are we, like, and Bully Ray's, yeah, because Bully Ray's like, what are you, how are we going to do this? And Hogan's like, we can do good man or bad man. Give me 4 more days for Jeff Hardy to get healthy.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, and so we're thinking Thursday, so he's like, 4 more days for him to get healthy. So if you win this thing, you've really earned it, basically. And that's why I turn to you and I go, oh, fuck you, TNA.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I'm like, we paid and you're fucking us out of our main event, right?
But well, exactly. But they didn't, no. And then just before Bully Ray could accept or decline this, you know, this offer of Hogan's, the music plays again and Jeff Hardy finally comes out, really selling his shoulder. So
at the very beginning of the match, he's selling his shoulder, but one of the things is he's selling the hell out of the things he's coming to the ring.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. But, and then as the match is, the bell rings, and Bully Ray looks at him and holds out his
fist bump,
fist,
yeah.
For a fist bump.
For respect.
And Jay, and Jeff's just kind of looking at him like, can I trust you? Can I trust you? You know, and just staring at him and finally fist bumps him, and you're like, okay, baby face Bully Ray again, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, that's what's kind of leading to the fact, you know, between that...
The other thing, as I look back on this, the storylines are really working for me here.
Yeah. Well, and it's, yeah, between that, what he did with Joseph Park, Bully Ray did last Thursday on, you know, his most recent, you know, hated enemy, where he's, you know, just be careful and
yeah.
you know...
You don't know what these guys are like, I know what these guys
yeah.
are like.
Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. Like, he's really up in the baby face, so when he goes heel,
it's not full baby face. It's you know, because he worked totally like a heel in the first match. So, I mean, it's subtle baby face, subtly moving towards a baby face character instead of just,
right.
all of a sudden, I'm a baby face. You know?
Exactly, yeah. And so then if he is part of this Aces and Eights...
Almost like they have a fucking plan. It's like that Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy. They wrestle on Thursday,
yeah.
they're wrestling again here, and the finish from that last match is playing into this match. It's almost like TNA books ahead and has a plan.
What? Why would
I
you,
know.
But why would you do that?
Like, WWE I just, creative right now is listening and thinking, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that would never work. That would never work. So, fucking idiots. No, the WWE creative isn't listening because we come up with good ideas, and they're obviously not listening then. But Jeff Hardy wins.
Yeah, which was a surprise. I was sure the whole time that Bully Ray was going to win.
Well, I said, you know, when he's coming out finally, and it's like, kind of like, well, Jeff Hardy's, I guess, got to win this then, doesn't he? Because of the baby
face. And I was like, no, he isn't out because he's hurt. He would have beat him, but he's hurt.
Well, at that point, we're thinking, okay, well, and that's...
And that way you get the heel guy who's actually in charge of Bully Ray, the heel who's actually in charge of Aces and Eights against the baby face champion, and you get Jeff Hardy versus Aces and Eights who took him out. So I was thinking that's the storyline. But they didn't go that direction, and they've set up other good storylines, like you mentioned...
Well, and
already,
this is,
right?
Yeah, and this is why this was such a, and this is a good match, because again, we could see either way. It's like if Bully Ray won, fine, and, you know, and then that would put Jeff Hardy into that multiple man aces and eights match, given what they've done to him, right? It kind of sets that stage. But now you've got Jeff Hardy against Austin Aries.
You know, and one of the things, the crowd wasn't really loud for this match, but it was a good match. It was interesting. Like, Jeff Hardy came to the ring selling that shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he started the match. He's selling the hell out of that shoulder. I actually got a text from my good buddy John Cena. He texted me and said, the match has started. Shouldn't he stop selling now? But,
really?
Yeah. Well, that's the way he would do it.
You know, it's good that he's learning, because he sent me a text I guess it was about 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, Addy, what is selling?
Yeah. Well, so, he's gotten much farther.
He's learning.
He is learning.
It's good for him to learn.
The crowd, I think it's fair to say, was... I think it was a Universal Studios crowd and not so much a wrestling crowd.
Well, we were looking at it, yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that...
Like, they knew Jeff Hardy, but they seemed to be, like almost like they were quiet because they were too worried about him because he was doing such a good job selling that they were like, he shouldn't be in there. Instead of being into it, I think they were too young, too much marks.
Well, we didn't announce the other thing, too. There were a lot of young people. Austin Aries, when he come out, he said, enough of this bullshit. And then immediately, like, over the corner, we could see, like, three, like, seven-year-olds, and they're just like...
Yeah, they had this look of shock on their face, and their mom was kind of looking down at them, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's
family.
You basically went, interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, family-friendly. But, whatever. It's a pay-per-view. But the thing was, they were going on to
Blair, still in ROH. Yeah.
I think that the crowd was almost... And again, they put the police everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The police.
Do you think they were waiting for an angle?
I think so. I think they were kind of waiting for Aces and Eights to come out, and so they weren't going to do anything until Aces and Eights was out, and they didn't, and Jeff just won. He did about 18 twists of fate, a couple swantons, hit some, missed some, but at the end, hit the swanton, and 1, 2, 3.
Senton.
Hmm?
I hate swanton.
Do you hate swanton?
Senton.
Really? Did you? I had some war swantons the other day.
Yeah.
At a Chinese food restaurant.
Yeah. I had
soup.
I had a place, a vegetable Chinese food place yesterday with vegetable ginger beef and vegetable sweet and sour pork.
Vegetable pork.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could hardly tell it wasn't real meat. In fact, I'm not 100% sure.
You know what the worst part about eating vegetables is, though?
What?
The wheelchair.
Hmm.
So, it just gets in the way sometimes.
That one's never inappropriate.
Nope. Say hi to your grandmother for me.
Oh, Lord. All right, so anyway, so...
So that was the PPV...
And even after it went off the air, it was like 8:45, and we're sitting there going, okay, there's going to be an angle now.
Right.
So maybe that, you're probably right, they were waiting for it. We're like, there's going to be an angle. Now Aces and Ace shows up. Now there's an angle.
And it was all about Bound for Glory, all about Jeff Hardy's...
Jeff Hardy versus fucking Austin Aries, which we called, 3 months ago?
Yeah, I think you said that.
I think that was
your suggestion. They said that would be great, and I was like, yeah, no, that'll work. And then
it makes sense. It's like, as we're going off the air, I said, okay, there's your biggest star, Jeff Hardy, and he's in the main event of your...
Yeah.
It's basically your best worker against your biggest star.
Your biggest star. You've got Bobby Roode and James Storm now. That'll come to a head there. As we said, there'll have to be a multiple man Aces and Eights type situation.
Yeah.
So it's obvious now. Again, we've got Mike Knox, the arm breaker, there. Luke Gallows is still yet to be revealed, but you'll have a multiple man match there. Like you said,
what was it that Trisky Hemme called? What's his name? When the Bastions came to
the Damager.
The Damager.
The Damager.
The Damager.
It was the Damager.
Because he is the Damager.
It was the Damager, yeah.
Yeah, but she called him the Damager.
Yeah.
She got that wrong, too, yeah.
Yes.
But she's hot, though.
Isn't that when she come out to complain that in DX no one ever talked about China?
Something like that.
That was her promo.
It was awful. Yeah.
It was awful.
It was like, okay, we're going to give you a chance to shine and build something around you, and then she fucking just dropped the ball. And now
No. Russo had that scripted idea that was doomed from the beginning. She could have sounded like Hulk Hogan in his prime.
Well, it was a
in
bad
the delivery.
Don't get me wrong, but the delivery was just terrible.
Oh, sure.
Now she's just their announcer. But that's okay. That's more than what SoCal Val is.
Yes, she holds the Appletinis.
That was also awesome.
Yes.
Like, Daniels comes out, and she's, of course, there. She grabs the ring gear and whatever. He passes her the set Appletini, and he gives her a little look, and And she kind of looks at him with this look like, okay, I won't fuck with this thing.
Yeah.
and you immediately said to me,
something happened to this gold, something gonna happen to you.
Exactly. A little raise of remote.
Oh, that was tremendous. But, no, I don't know, what do you give the pay-per-view out of 10?
I was going to say 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Now, looking back at it, looking kind of at the good things they did, the storyline-wise, I'll give it a 6. Still not a great pay-per-view.
I was going to say 6 myself. Yeah. I think, if you can find it on YouTube or just on the match itself, the tag match, I think, is worth seeing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With the way...
3.25, 3.5, something like that.
Three and three quarter, then, I couldn't go 4, but 3.75. But I think, this is leading to Bound for Glory. As I said, nothing is, kind of out there going like, what the heck is that about? You know what I mean? We're talking maybe if you do Magnus and Joe.
Yeah, nothing weird and nothing that you don't want to see, but a lot of storylines that could go in a lot of directions that has you interested still. You can't tell, you know what's happening, but you can't tell where they're
going. Well, the thing is I could see like kind of a splintering in that. I could see a lot of different outcomes, a lot of ways that they could go with it, and I like them.
Yeah, and you know what? Another thing is, during this whole thing, we've generally said, oh, they could go in this direction. We've thrown out tons of different ideas, and then they managed to not go in any of those.
Mm-hmm.
They still go in a logical direction. So even though we're saying there's a lot of ways they can go and we're guessing at them,
Yeah. Whatever
they're going to do probably isn't what we're saying anyways, but it's probably going to be really good.
Well, that's the thing, is that they've got my confidence in them now. Oh, we'll probably see Joey Ryan and Al Snow at the pay-per-view as well. But they have my confidence right now that they will do something good with this. Like you said, they won't.
See Brooke Hogan versus
Madison Rain. Yeah.
So that's buys.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You could even. No, I guess it couldn't be a mixed.
They should do a last woman standing match.
They should. You know, Brooke's already lost.
I know. She tripped on the stage, folks.
That was awesome. Would Earl be the ref?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
That way he can screw Madison.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't want to screw Madison.
Yeah. Well, he probably could.
Hmm. I'm awesome. Mm. But I think
she still works at a Hooters, is what I'm saying, I think.
Oh, does she?
I'm pretty sure.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. This is Brooke Tessmacher does as well.
Oh, okay. Maybe I got them confused.
Maybe. Shane. But I think, no real news of the week since we were here on Thursday, and nothing's really happened over...
And there's nothing really to speculate on that we didn't cover on Thursday for this coming Raw.
No, they did say Pat Patterson Appreciation Night, not going to be on TV, but Bret Hart, CM Punk, and Heyman, and John Cena, and them, they'll all be obviously on TV. You got your SmackDown tapings in Ottawa.
You did watch something that you said was awesome television show from WWE. Unfortunately, nobody's watching it. I was going to watch it, but I got distracted by different bullshit.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
so
I did.
Tell us a little bit about this great episode.
I will, yes. I do want to say that Tuesday, Monday, Pat Patterson Appreciation Night. Tuesday, Akeem and the Big Boss Man Appreciation Night.
Fucking idiot.
Never forget. NXT.
These colors don't run. Anyways, go
ahead. NXT. There was a great angle on NXT with Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero, and Richie Steamboat.
Why is it every time you say Cassius Ohno, I think of Sonny Ohno?
I don't know. They're basically the same, aren't they?
Yeah, 6'4" white guy and a 5'4" Asian.
Yeah.
Practically the same guy.
Yeah. 6'4" Asian. The match was...
I can't wait for Chris Hero to sue the company and win.
That's right. That's
right. Racism.
For racism. With Hardbody Harrison. and the greatest wrestler...
Hardbody Harrison, who was he?
Huh? He was a pimp.
Oh. Oh, that's right. He was a real life pimp.
He was a real life pimp.
So maybe instead of he'll sue him with what's his name? Big E. Is that it? What's his name? Or
oh, Big E Langston?
Big E Langston. I understand Big E Langston's going to be in a dark match.
Is he really? Against Kamala.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that'll be good. I think, what was I, with, I was going to talk about Sonny Ono for a second, because they had the, part of that lawsuit was the greatest wrestler, nickname of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Hard Work, Bobby Walker.
Oh, yeah. Really, I still like, Mr. 3.0. Above average.
Oh, above average Mike Sanders, yes.
I love that. Above average.
Above average, yes.
Above average.
3.0, C-plus all the way.
Not great.
Oh.
Above average.
Yes.
Mr. 3.0, his finisher was the 3.0.
Oh, yes, yeah, that was it. It was the 3.0, so. Yeah.
All right, so NX motherfucking T.
Anyway, with NXT, Cassius Ohno, the story, they had a match against Richie Steamboat. Basically,
NXT.
The story of the match.
How you doing, eh?
Yeah. The story of the match was that Cassius Ohno going to Richie Steamboat's eyes. Kept poking him in the eye and such.
Where was this filmed? Where did they film this again?
Full Sail University.
Okay, so it's not also in Universal Studios.
No.
No,
okay. Why?
I'm just wondering. I thought Popeye would be around then again too, because he was Popeye was one of the security guys tonight, wasn't he?
I think he was. Yeah, yeah. And, with olive oil, of course. Julia Riley.
Who's she?
Julia Riley.
She played somebody.
She was. What was her name? Claire Lynch. Claire Lynch.
Julia Riley.
Yeah, Julia Riley.
Lynch,
yeah.
But, yeah, Popeye. Yeah. I am what I am. I am what I am. I am what I am. I am. There you go.
Nope.
We forgot that's the other. We didn't talk about the other fucking great Taz moment.
Oh, when he humped. What was he talking about?
Yeah, well, Daniels comes out, and after he gives this Appletini to fucking
SoCal Val,
he gets in the ring and he starts doing this
gyration, humping
at the rope. And Taz is like, he's a really good wrestler, but he shouldn't be humping the rope like that. Kind of makes me sick, you know.
Yeah, and then Tanay said. He said, I like him as a wrestler, but he shouldn't be humping the rope.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tanay said something like, you like him as a wrestler. That's not what you tell me off air.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
Taz heard it wrong, apparently thought he was saying, he likes it when he humps the rope.
Yeah.
Off air is what he said.
Yeah.
So shut up on this.
On this tangent. And then finally today,
Taz is like all defensive and basically saying, I'm not gay, you're calling me gay, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
And today's like, calm the fuck down, that's not what I said. And they just got off and they're not talking about anything to do with wrestling or the match.
Well, then they said take two.
Yeah.
And then he said it again.
What I said was, you say he's not a, you don't like him as a wrestler off air. Take two, Taz.
And
Taz
is like, oh. Well, you're a stooge. And then he just moved on.
Fucking great.
Yes.
I am what I am.
All right. Nope. Anyway, Cassius Ohno kept going to the eyes and got disqualified for raking the eyes countless times of Richie Steamboat. Then.
Is that illegal?
Apparently it is illegal. But then after he was disqualified, he attacked Steamboat, and
did he damage his larynx?
He dropped him throat first on the railing.
Beautiful.
Yes, and Richie's in the ring just, you know, grabbing his throat and just selling the hell out of this, and Ohno is just grinning ear to ear and walking up the ring and walking up the ramp, and he's even off screen, like he's in the back already, and Ricky Steamboat, who's there, comes through the crowd, jumps over the rail, gets in the ring, is yelling at all the referees, like, how could you let this happen, get this some help for this guy, just freaking out, doing all of this stuff.
That's fucking great.
And then he's checking his cell, and then he's saying,
harkening back to the angle where Savage crushed the larynx of Steamboat that we talked about last our last show and doing some of our nostalgia memories is one of the greatest angles we've ever seen. That's
yes.
The angle that really brought you and me into wrestling at the next level.
Yes. And then afterwards, they had a couple matches, and later on in the show, Ricky Steamboat is backstage. He's going to the trainer's room. He says, he's like, I go to the trainer's room, and Cassius Ohno greets him. And he says, oh, Ricky Steamboat, holds his hand out. Cassius Ohno, pleasure to meet you.
Awesome.
He's like, I'm not going to shake your hand. He's like, then he just goes off on him, and he's like, anyway, he shoves him or whatever, and they get to this pull-apart brawl. With Ohno keep saying, like, what are you going to do, Steamboat, arm drag me?
That's awesome.
I'll break your back again, I think he said. I'll break your back again.
Great.
But, yeah, so this big pull-apart brawl. So it was an awesome angle. Just everybody played their parts just perfect.
I'm going to watch that for sure.
It was great.
I know the NXT is on YouTube, so
yeah.
The whole show will be up there.
So. Yeah. So it's Leo Kruger debuted his poacher gimmick. On the
Leo Kruger again.
He's the South African.
Oh.
Anyway, he now.
Oh, I remember him.
Now he looks like Skinner.
Oh.
It's basically what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh, they have a new Skinner.
Well, Skinner's around down there.
He is. He is the Alligator Man.
Nice,
so
nice.
No chewing tobacco, but.
Well, that's PG.
That's true. It was PG then too.
Good point. Good point.
But
what was his highlight of his WWE run? Was his losing Tuesday in Texas for the IC belt to Bret Hart?
Probably. Or losing to Owen Hart at WrestleMania.
Yeah, one of those, yeah.
So, yeah. But, that was really it with NXT. They had an angle with, or had an interview with Seth Rollins about him being the champion, but he wasn't there. And yeah, that was about it. So, but I just want to talk about that one angle that was really good. So, and the fact that Leo Kruger's a poacher. More stuff with the Ascension and the Usos as well on the show. So another, again, a team that's just going to be really ready to come up soon, I think. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I know. It seems like it. When I saw them, they looked good. So.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll definitely check that out for sure. So I think that's about it. I think, it's a short show, but we're going to be back again after Impact, I believe.
Yeah, we'll do after
Impact.
And, of
course, as usual, we got the TV Freaks Channel E, both parts of his reboot of what Raw should do on Monday nights is up now on our site. This is really cool stuff. If you didn't check it out, you really should. Because if you find WWE's Raw very stale like we do, this guy is a graphic artist who has repackaged the stage and the set and the whole branding of what they do on Monday nights. Really cool work. Really, I really would freshen up the project, give it a different look, and give some breathe some life into it. So
they definitely,
you can check him out, and also check out his blog. That he runs himself there too.
They definitely need to.
Up on our site, that Freaks Channel TDE Monday Night rebooted for Raw.
Honestly,
for WWE. Monday Night Super Show.
I can't see anybody. I mean, they definitely need to freshen up the look of Raw. Like, I just...
What he did would really... They should just take... I just wish somebody from WWE would take a look at what he did and put a guy like him on the payroll, because it would really help what they're doing right now, even just the look.
But they definitely need... I mean, anybody that can't tell that the look is the same and has been the same for, like 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you've been watching, because it's blatantly obvious. Like, you're just an idiot if you don't think that the same Titantron. I mean, yeah, it looks a little bit different, and there's, tweaks to it, but the basic concept is the same, and it just needs to change.
It does, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, of course, you're going to have a blog up probably Tuesday. What is that?
I'm going to look at the Hall of Fame, just because we were looking back at last week last Thursday at some of our favorite memories, and just looking to the past. So I just thought, what I basically was doing is putting together my perfect class. Like, it's not like a Bruno Sammartino or anything, because he's not going to go in. And I tried to make it realistic, and I tried to follow the WWF formula of, a woman, maybe a manager, that kind of thing. So a celebrity, that kind of thing going in. So it's not like I just said, well, Bruno Sammartino, Randy Savage, Mick Foley, blah, blah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so,
you
know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't put your wad on, like, what the most obvious guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
now the other thing that we got to mention, of course, we've mentioned already, you're Mo. Well, I'm Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com.
Yeah, I'm not Mo. I'm skinny.
No, and stupid. And Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com. M O N O E on my name, and Mo underscore WeTalk.
So that's
M
O E.
Also, WeTalk Fantasy Football over the WeTalk Podcast site, which is a subsite of WeTalk Wrestling. And
a subsite.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe it's the other way around. But an affiliate, whatever, you know, different domain names, the same basic web hosts. So we talk fantasy football, we talk comics, and we talk music and all that other shit. But the reason I want to talk
it is
about
shit.
This is because, fuck you, we talk fantasy football. We mentioned this on Thursday, that you and I today were going head-to-head. So before we go up there, I think we ought to see what the score is here, see who won in our game.
Well, we haven't.
Because I believe I'm probably kicking your ass because I'm, you know, once again, smarter and handsomer. And
well, what I want to
all in all, better person.
I want to say, yes, your fake football team is probably going to be beating my fake football team, which
one
of
two matches we'll be doing, and of course we'll keep everybody up to date. Addy, I hope, makes the playoffs so I can beat him a third time.
Well, let's just look here. My team name, of course, named Kelly Kelly's a whore.
Uh-huh. And a picture of Kelly Kelly that I'm surprised Fox Sports has not banned from the website. It's so
awesome. And your team name is Honest Engine.
Engine. As in car engine.
As in car engine, not in Native American.
No. And I am beating you right now. No. Time for a Bobby Heenan.
Pampoose to go?
Time for a Bobby Heenan Tatanka joke. Go ahead.
The Pampoose to go.
A different one.
I don't remember anymore.
Yes, you do.
No?
Hey, how are you?
Well, that wasn't really a Bobby Heenan joke.
No?
But anyway, you have 79.3 points. I have 68.7 points.
Now, you, what was the final score in the Broncos and Steelers game here? Just look that up. It's probably up top right there.
31-19, Denver over Pittsburgh.
Okay, I still think you should have played, because you played Cam Newton, who put up no points for you. You have the rapist on your team. I guess you should have played the rapist instead of Cam Newton, I'm thinking.
I think maybe I have Heath Slater on my team.
Well, actually, I'm wondering, when Ben Roethlisberger, when he was guest hosting Raw, do we know if he and Heath Slater were hanging out backstage making plans together?
Well, we assume. Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly Kelly the whore is doing the job.
Yeah. Yeah, that blows.
Anyways, we're OUT on that.
That is. You know who I looked up
Addy
to?
Addy at WeTalk. Addy underscore WTW.
What?
Addy at WeTalk Wrestling.
Oh, just go at WeTalk Wrestling for Twitter. I barely checked the other one. Then there is Addy.
At WeTalk Wrestling on Twitter, you say?
Yes.
You also say that somebody played Claire Lynch. Who was that?
Julia Riley. Julia Riley.
I did not know that.
I know. Yeah, so we're at WeTalk Wrestling on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're all over the fucking place. And so check us out on some or all.
We're on Tout, and we don't tout until we have something to tell the.
We haven't touted in a while. Maybe
next up, well, it depends on whether or not we watch Night of Champions. We might have a tout to give them.
That's true.
The last time we touted was when we watched.
Yeah, post-pay-per-view maybe we'll tout them.
Post-pay-per-view, suck my ball, WWE tout.
Yes.
Could be coming.
It could be. Could
all right.
be. Cause
all
you see. All right, so that's it. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you?
Boobs.